The scripture reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the good news that I have proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, and which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you believed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our first reading is Mark 1, 14 and 15, the beginning of the Galilean ministry. Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Our second reading is Luke 4, 16 through 21, the mission statement of Jesus. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please.
Today, Ash Wednesday, is day one of our 40-day Lenten journey for all of us together. Throughout this year's Lenten journey, starting tonight and throughout Lent, including Holy Week's Good Friday and finally on Easter Sunday, I would like to share with you a new sermon series, The Message of Jesus. And one of my main sermon resource books is The Message of Jesus, Words That Change the World, written by the UMC pastor and author Adam Hamilton, published by Abington Press in 2024. Tonight, as an introduction and invitation to the new Lenten / Easter sermon series, my sermon title is "The Kingdom of God Has Come Near," part one of two. Now, I'd like to show you a few photos of well-known brand name stores. Please tell me if you can figure out one important common thing among these stores: Kmart, Sears, Blockbuster, Borders, Radio Shack, Big Lot, Party City, and Forever 21. I assume everybody knows, right? Okay. I know you know it. Answer is that all of these once famous and popular stores are all closed now. Even though many of us have enjoyed some of these stores, most of them have been closed for the past 10 years or so. Yes, 10 years. It's the 10th year of my pastoral ministry this year here with the First United Methodist Church of Riverside. During the last 10 years, you and I have sadly witnessed and said goodbye to these favorite stores that have disappeared. Even this Forever 21, one of the biggest fashion stores at Tyler Mall in Riverside, was closed. This Riverside location was one of 354 Forever 21 stores in the United States. Wow. Yes, but unlike their brand name, Forever 21 is gone forever. Nothing, absolutely nothing is forever. Not just the certain brand name stores, everything else, including the people you loved dearly in your life, passed away and keep passing away as the time passes. Yes, people are moving away, changing jobs. They are always in transitions. Just as we are mortal beings, nothing under the sun lasts forever on this earth. Yes, all human beings die someday. Here is the last Friday's newspaper comic strip, Pearls Before Swine, by Stephen Pastis. Goat is asking, when things go really wrong in your life, how do you cheer yourself up? Rat is responding to Goat. I remember one thing. Someday we all die. Goat says, oh, I was looking for something more upbeat. Rat says, gee, that's as cheery as I get. Your life journey and mine have the most important and serious common ground. Life is limited, and death is inevitable. Yes, we are confined in time, dictated by seasons, and impacted by so many outside factors beyond our choices or our desires. We know when we were born, right? But no one knows when or how we will die. See, nothing is permanent and everything is temporary. However, only one thing lasts forever, for sure. It's the words of Christ Jesus. Jesus already proclaims in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The writer of the book of Hebrews boldly confesses, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Simon Peter affirms his faith in the word of Christ in the Gospel of John. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. See, while everything is temporary and everything will pass away eventually, Jesus' words have eternal life. Thus, while we are still breathing and being alive, we must pursue the words of eternal life rather than anything else that will be perishing after all. So, speaking of the words of Jesus, did you know that in the four Gospels in the Bible, there are over 40,000 words that Jesus spoke? After deducting all those duplicates of the same occasions, events, and teachings, there are still 25,000 unique words of Christ. Of course, with this special subject of the message of Jesus, we cannot possibly cover all these 25,000 words of Jesus throughout this Lenten season, including Holy Week and Easter Sunday. No. However, we will share some of the most important and most relevant topics for us, especially in this season of spiritual renewal. Tonight and on this coming Sunday, which is the first Sunday in Lent, we are going to share the very first words of Jesus when he began his ministry right after his baptism. According to the Gospel of Mark, the very first words Jesus spoke are recorded. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Here, this is the significant phrase, "Repent and believe in the good news." I'm sure many of you are familiar with this especially meaningful expression, especially when you receive an ash cross sign symbol on your forehead. The pastor or the leader traditionally says to you with two liturgical words. The first one is, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This expression is based on Genesis 3:19. God is talking to Adam and Eve. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." This word of God is part of God's curse following Adam and Eve's disobedience. This verse marks the introduction of a physical death, labor-intensive toil, and the separation from Eden, establishing human mortality. Yes, this verse signifies the consequences of humanity's fall and the inevitability of death. "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Yes, it's a solemn realization and reminder of human conditions. Another common formula used for Ash Wednesday is, especially in our United Methodist tradition, "Repent and believe in the gospel." This is from Mark 1:15. The word gospel literally means good news. Tonight, during the imposition of ashes, myself and other two lay leaders, Chris Lufkin and Dara Johnson, will say to you, "Remember and believe in the gospel." Then you will respond to the words by saying "Amen" or "Amen." Now, before Jesus said "repent," his preceding proclamation was, "The kingdom of God has come near." So, practically and officially, Jesus' very first preaching words known to us are, "The kingdom of God has come near." Yes, as a matter of fact, this phrase of the kingdom of God has come near is the central theme of Jesus' entire ministry, even though it lasted only for 3 years on this earth. Nevertheless, this core message of Jesus was and still is not merely about personal salvation, but the inauguration of a new reality that still impacts the whole world. So, with this theme of the kingdom of God has come near, I would like to share with my three insight points. Tonight, I'm going to share with you the first point, and then this coming Sunday, I will be sharing with you the rest of the two insight points. Number one, the kingdom of God is central and present throughout the entire Bible and throughout the entire New Testament, and especially throughout all four Gospels and all the words of Jesus. What would you say the most important key word given by Jesus is? What would that be? One word. Love. Love. Yes, you're right. You're correct. Your Christian life and faith are totally based on love. The love of God and the love of our neighbors. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus clearly and strongly asserts this point. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Better yet, it is also important for us to realize that according to the recorded words of Jesus, especially in his teachings, he mentioned the kingdom of God four times more than the word love. Moreover, Jesus' very first preaching message was not, "Hey, everyone, love God and love one another." No. His very first preaching message at the beginning of his public ministry was, "The kingdom of God has come near." Really? Yes, even though he emphasized the importance of loving God and loving our neighbors in multiple times or many times here, the kingdom message is truly Jesus' very first, therefore very serious and critical proclamation. What does this tell us? Generally, in the Bible and in our Christian life, both phrases, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, are being used interchangeably. That's why many people, especially many Christians, tend to think the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is simply believed to be the typical final destination called heaven. Well, that's understandable. Yes, heaven is real. However, it is totally God's throne, God's embrace, and God's peace, God's presence beyond our comprehension, expectation, or imagination. However, when Jesus says the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, he actually refers to the reign of God rather than the traditional concept of heaven you will go to probably after your death. Whenever I mention about the kingdom of God in my sermons, I always share with you the words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Once, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. Yes, the kingdom of God is among you, meaning the kingdom of God is among your community of faith and love. Moreover, this can be also translated into the kingdom of God is in your heart. In this sense, everything and everywhere and every time is indeed God's kingdom. Adam Hamilton states in his book, The Message of Jesus, quote, many today prefer the phrase the reign of God to the kingdom of God. Kingdom can imply a particular geographic location, but God's reign applies to everything. God reigns over the cosmos, over the laws that govern our universe. God reigns not only over places, but all of creation, not only over nations, but individual human hearts, unquote. From this quote, the yellow highlights and underlines are mine to get your attention. Of course, love as the greatest gift and also the greatest commandment is serving as the foundational, operational principle of God's reign. So here, the kingdom of God is not merely a place, but the active, righteous, peaceful, and joyful governing of God's will on earth, while Christ-like, sacrificial, unconditional, and inclusive love is the required lifestyle for its citizens, kingdom citizens. When Jesus began his ministry, this kingdom of God was clearly the driving focus of Jesus' entire ministry and his life of love. Yes, the kingdom of God represented and still represents a new way of living that is both a present reality and a future hope. It is not a distant, solely heavenly kingdom, but God's reign breaking into the world right now. That's why Jesus strongly urges us not to worry about life, but to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Yes, this kingdom priority is so crucial and so essential that not only it is central in our life, but also it should be realized here and now, rather than vaguely missing its present urgency. My sisters and brothers in Christ, let us keep the number one point in mind. The kingdom of God is central and present. As we are observing Ash Wednesday tonight together, as a matter of fact, we are actually establishing the kingdom of God, the reign of God among us and in our hearts. And tonight, we are praying that God opens our heart, cleanses us, forgives us with his forgiveness, and fills our lives with his steadfast love and new hope here and now. To be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.